John chapter 6. We're going to begin our reading at verse 27 and read down through some part of this chapter. John chapter 6 and verse 27, the scripture says, "Labor not for the meat which perisheth, but for that meat which endureth unto everlasting life, which the Son of Man shall give unto you. For him hath God the Father sealed." Then said they unto him, "What shall we do that we might work the works of God?" Jesus answered and said unto them, "This is the work of God, that ye believe on him whom he hath sent." They said therefore unto him, "What sign showest thou then, that we may see and believe thee? What dost thou work?" "Our fathers did eat manna in the desert, as it is written, he gave them bread from heaven to eat." Then Jesus said unto them, "Verily, verily, I say unto you, Moses gave you not that bread from heaven, but my Father giveth you the true bread from heaven. For the bread of God is he which cometh down from heaven and giveth life unto the world." They said unto him, "Lord, evermore give us this bread." And Jesus said unto them, "I am the bread of life. He that cometh to me shall never hunger, and he that believeth on me shall never thirst. But I said unto you that ye also have seen me and believe not. All that the Father giveth me shall come to me, and him that cometh to me I will in no wise cast out. For I came down from heaven not to do mine own will, but the will of him that sent me. And this is the Father's will, which hath sent me, that of all which he hath given me, I should lose nothing, but should raise it up again at the last day. And this is the will of him that sent me, that every one which seeth the Son and believeth on him may have everlasting life, and I will raise him up at the last day." Then the Jews then murmured at him, because he said, "I am the bread which came down from heaven." And they said, "Is not this Jesus, the son of Joseph, whose father and mother we know? How is it then that he saith, I came down from heaven?" Jesus therefore answered and said unto them, "Murmur not among yourselves. No man can come to me except the Father which hath sent me draw him, and I will raise him up at the last day." We'll end our reading there at verse 44, and we trust the Lord will bless his word to our hearts for his name's sake. This morning I want us to think on that well-known text there at the end of verse 37. And I want us to think on what I'm calling a word to hold. A word to hold. Before we consider anything, though, let's turn our hearts to the Lord in prayer and ask him to bless us as we meet in Jesus' name. Our Father and our God, again, now we come to thee. And Lord, we would ask of thee that thou wilt send the Spirit, that he would be at work in our hearts and in our minds, to draw us away from ourselves, to draw us away from this world, to set our minds and our hearts upon Christ Jesus. Lord, we would ask that thou wouldst truly allow us to be taken up with the Lord. We pray, O God, that thou wilt minister to us the truths concerning the Son of God. Lord, we ask now that Thou wilt meet with us for Jesus' sake. Allow the time to be a time in which we were closed in with Thee. Lord, we ask, O God, for You to speak to our hearts. So to this end, I ask now that Thou wilt help me as Thy servant. I pray that Thou wilt lead me, that Thou wilt guide me, and give me the help of the Holy Ghost. And I pray, O God, that Thou wilt put, as it were, the blood over us all here in this time, so that we would be those who truly are in the place where our ears are tuned to hear Thy voice. Bless us now, then, we pray, in Jesus' name. Amen. This portion from God's Word is a very familiar portion, that portion that is commonly referred to as the Discourse on the Bread of Life. It was, I say, a word which the Savior spoke to a host of people who had gathered to Him. If we go back earlier in the chapter, we would read that He had come to that city of Capernaum from a city that was on the west side of the Sea of Galilee, known as Tiberias. It was not far from there where the Lord had fed the multitudes, and they had followed Him from that point, seeking that He would feed them again and again. These folks came to the Savior, to Capernaum, seeking from the hand of the Lord that good that might be for their stomach more, I say, than for their heart. And you could say, well, that's understandable. Not necessarily just because they were hungry. But I would submit to you this about the bread that the Lord Jesus fed them. Even though it was taken from the hand of a little boy, it was His lunch. I would contend that no food was ever like that which came from the hand of the Lord. There was no bread that satisfied like that bread. You might say, well, it was stale and crusty. It satisfied. No fish tasted like those fish. I know what you're thinking. He's thinking he's going to come up with that thing about the fish fry again. No. Nothing tasted like what Jesus gave. And these people were utterly satisfied. So satisfied, as it were, we read that the Lord was allowed to gather up after it all 12 baskets full. They ate and they ate and they ate, and they had more than they needed, and they took up the residue of 12 baskets. No one fed like Jesus. And here these ones come across the sea, or in some cases maybe around the sea. And you could almost be certain that there was again brought to the fore, as the Lord Jesus was there, the question, will the Lord feed them again? You can almost hear the disciples whispering among themselves that very thing. Is the Lord going to do this again? Perhaps there were those who had heard that the Lord had done this, and that was their question. Will He feed the crowds again? Is He going to... And I say this not in a... And for a pleasant question. Perhaps it was a statement of accusation on the part. Will He build Himself a kingdom by simply feeding these people? Will He continue to do that and then take power from those that are in power? I say, when the Lord Jesus begins this discourse on the bread of life, it is in the light of that which had taken place shortly before. And I say that there was a mixed group there. You would say, certainly, His closest disciples were there that day. Those that would prove faithful to the end. Those that we read later on, the Lord Jesus asked the question, will ye also go away? And the question comes back to Him, to whom are we going to go? Thou hast the words of eternal life. Whom then should we seek after? There were the faithful ones that were there. Second, I would say in that group were followers that were glad to hear and to see what the Lord Jesus did. And they were glad to enjoy the fruits of His compassion. I say that you have a large number of people today that would fit in that very category. They like Christianity. They like the fruits of Christianity, though their hearts are never really given to the Lord. You had also, third, the hungry ones who followed to receive the temporal benefits of the Lord's hand. And again, I say, how many follow Christ today in that very same way? I will follow Jesus because I find that I might be able to obtain something in this life that satisfies me. You had the religious leaders there who contended with the Lord for whatever the reason was. Who knows exactly all the reasons why men would contend with God? And then you maybe even had what I would just call the casual, simple passerby. Those who were in Capernaum. Capernaum was a hub city of all of northern Palestine. That's where the Romans had set up much of their many of their garrisons, and it was a religious center for the northern part of Israel. There would be people coming and going in Capernaum all the time. And again, I say, what was being asked, perhaps what was being whispered through the crowd, will the Lord feed again? Will the Lord open His hand and do for this crowd what they want? And let me just simply say as another by the way, the Lord Jesus often will allow the desire of the heart to be received, even though He means to bring a greater blessing and help than what is looked for. For example, we might point to the lame man, the man who was paralyzed, the man who was born blind that the Lord Jesus healed there by the sheep gate. All of these received a temporal good, but the good that the Lord Jesus did, the greater good was the work that He did in their hearts, that they would arise and bless God and follow Him. The Lord Jesus oftentimes gave men what they were desiring. But I say the Lord brings up an issue. The Lord sets this whole scene in another light and brings the whole matter to a different point. He, using the very image of what men came to seek, speaks of the living bread, which satisfies the heart, and the need to know that all is well with the soul and that which has on it the hope of heaven. Men came after Him for their stomachs. The Lord Jesus says, "If any man will come after Me for his soul, I will not turn away from him." He will get all that he desires and more so. Just think about that for a second. How we often find ourselves denying that in our minds. Our minds think that we can come to the Lord and leave empty-handed. How wrong we are. The Lord is presenting then this great truth. And I say, I will let this stand as our proposition for this morning, that coming to Jesus brings complete satisfaction, just as bread does for the stomach and water for our thirst. So coming to Jesus by faith and receiving Him satisfies our soul. That is the subject at hand. And I would ask, as we look at our text and that all familiar phrase there in verse 37 that ends that which he is offering, I say, the pinnacle of his statements. Him that cometh unto me, I will in no wise cast out. That there is a statement there. There is that bread, if you will satisfy the soul. And I say, as we took as our text, or as our title rather, here's a word to hold to. I would ask four things. Number one, when we look at that phrase, of what does this promise? Of what does this promise? The contrast in what the Lord Jesus is speaking of sets, I say, the context for our answer. He speaks of the matter of temporal food. Well, how long does temporal food last? How long can you go before you feel the need of food? And I'll say, just as a by the way, this is a subject that I'm asking myself every single day now, because as you know, I have been on this diet for some time. And I am finding two things. You can go longer without the feeling for need of food because of this diet that I'm on. But you cannot go longer without asking yourself the question mentally. Boy, wouldn't it be good for something to eat? But it's still, how long can temporal food last? These people that came to the Lord Jesus and they were seeking that same wonderful bread that they had had beside the sea, how long was that going to last them? A few hours? The Lord Jesus says, now I want you to understand what you people need is bread that will not give way in just a couple of hours. You need that which will satisfy your soul forever, upon which you can rest. In fact, I might even ask the question, many of the things that men seek from the hand of the Lord have only to do with that which will pass away. And I say, is this not even true for us concerning our emotions? We want the Lord to do something. Why do we want the Lord to do something? We want the Lord to solve a problem. We want the Lord to show Himself. We want the Lord to do something that causes us to feel good about our stance with God. We want the Lord to do something. We want the Lord to feed us, as it were, in this temporal life. Lord, do something so that my emotions feel the benefit of it. I say you're doing, when you come to the Lord and you're looking for that kind of thing from the Lord's hand, you're doing nothing different than these people did when they gathered there looking for the temporal bread. If you're looking for the Lord to do something for you that is related to this temporal life only, you're looking for bread that is soon going to give way. And again, I would ask you the question, if the Lord ever did do something and it encouraged your heart and your emotions were involved and you found that good feeling about things, how long did it last? I'll say this. How many churches out there are people going to because they walk in and they get a feeling, and the feeling is in their minds, oh, this is a wonderful blessing. Then they leave, and how long does it last? They're seeking the bread. They're seeking the fish, not the Lord. The Lord Jesus says that He is dealing with that which is permanent and sure. More than that, I say, the Lord Jesus is offering that which is the most satisfying of all. And that is, He is offering to us as His people the knowledge of safety and security for our hearts. He says plainly, do you want something that's going to satisfy you forever? Then hear my word. Him that cometh to me, I will in no wise cast out. That is bread for you, but bread not of this world. That is bread from heaven.
that is the Father's gift. If you will take this as a word and hold it to your heart close, you'll find that it will satisfy you. Not like bread, not like water which pass away, but it is that which will carry you right through to heaven.
Again, I say here is a word to hold. My father-in-law knows where I got this message. I thought I had a different word till I went to the hospital last night. And as I was going, I thought, you know, every saint of God, and I hope you understand this, and I'm going to preach this right to you. I hope you understand that when you come to a day when you might be looking shortly over Jordan, what you need in that hour is a word to hold to. It may not be this one, maybe a different one. But I'll tell you what, for my mind, in my own head, I think for me, this word here is probably what I'm going to be clinging to more than any. Him that cometh to me, I will in no wise cast out. That is bread for my soul that will take me clean over to the marriage supper of the Lamb. And I hope by faith to be able to take that and, as it were, say, Lord, I brought something to the supper. Can I lay it on the table? I came, and you did not cast me out. I say, we sometimes find that hard to believe. We sometimes find it hard to believe. Lord, I came to you, but I am not sure about whether you really are receiving me. I'm not sure. Maybe you will cast me out. Maybe, child of God, when you come to the point where you wonder, is the Lord for me? Is the Lord against me? Is the Lord going to save me? Come to this word and hang on. That's exactly what the Lord Jesus says. It's not like temporal bread. This is everlasting. He simply says that any man that will come, he will not lose. And I want you to underscore that in your scriptures there. He doesn't say, if a man comes to me, I will no wise cast out, and that man shall be able to hold on to me. The Lord Jesus says, and I will not lose him. He'll come to me, and not only will I gather him to myself, but nobody's going to take him out of my hands. I will not lose this one. It says that in verse 39. I should lose nothing. So, of what does this promise? It is a promise, I say to you, that the Lord Jesus will not reject you. He will not turn from you. He will not lose you. And the Lord Jesus, I simply say, is holding forth to us all that promise, that surety, that you will not be lost or turned away. Second, I would like to ask this. To whom does the Lord Jesus say these words? To whom does this promise speak? Again, I would ask you, note those that were gathered around the Lord Jesus. Who were they? Sinners. Beggars. Bound up men. Self-righteous. Liars. Haters of God. All that. The words were spoken to the unworthy. The words were spoken to the ungodly. The words were spoken to the unfaithful and unbelieving.
The Lord Jesus did not speak these words only to the men who were of great wisdom and holiness.
The Lord Jesus said this to just plain, old, ordinary, common garden variety sinners. Which, by the way, if you don't know, that's you and me. This is a word for us all. And I want you to, this morning, by the Spirit of God, receive this word to your own heart. This is a word for you. Him that cometh unto me, I will in no wise cast out. That's a word for you. But look closer. The Lord Jesus says it is a word for any man who comes. Him that cometh. Now I would ask, how do I come? This morning we were in the Sunday school and I was listening to you, those who were there, the way that most men would say, this is what it means to accept Christ, come. And we had our little list there, none of which had anything to do with a sight of Christ, which was in almost an entirety, in fact, complete in its entirety, a looking at men's own self. I come because I do this, I do this, I do this, I do this, I do this. People say this and makes me feel this, and all my eyes are upon myself. But when a man comes to Jesus Christ in truth, he comes with his eyes upon the Lord alone. That makes a whole lot of difference because it takes you completely out of the realm of how you came. Think about these people who came to the Lord that day. How did they come? Some, you'd have to say, came halting. They had trouble getting there. The walk was cumbersome. The walk was hard. But the Lord Jesus said, you know, it doesn't make any difference if a man fumbles and stumbles his way to me. Still he's coming to me. Some, like Mary, came afraid. Falling down at the feet of the Savior, weeping, wiping his feet with, she was afraid of her sin. Not afraid of Christ, but afraid of her sin. The Lord Jesus received her. Some came to the Lord in wonder. And you'd have to say, every single one of them that ever came to the Lord, including you and I, we all came in a state of ignorance and unbelief. The Lord Jesus is not telling us how we must come. He is simply pointing out that He is that one to whom we come. If you come to me, no matter how it is, whether you fumble your way along, whether you come as a little child. You know, you wish we could all be little children. The Lord Jesus tells us, of such is the kingdom of heaven. You know, when a little child sees somebody that they love, I'm talking a little toddler, and you hold your arms out to the little one, how do they usually come to you? I love to watch it. You ever notice with little people, their feet aren't strong enough to make their shoes bend? And their shoes just stay real stiff and they go plump, 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 plump. But they go just as fast as they can. It's funny. I enjoy seeing it. It's just a funny thing. It's a cute little picture. You know? But you know what? The little ones aren't thinking about, oh, my shoe's not bending. Oh, my shoe's not bending. Oh, will I ever do? He probably won't take me up into his lap and give me a cuddle because I came to him with my shoes not bending. How silly, silly we are as the people of God thinking that Christ will not receive us because we don't come with our spiritual shoes bending. He simply says, you come. Come with your ignorance. Come with your guilt. Come with your sorrows. Come with your doubts. Come with your fears. Whatever it is, just
come. If you come, I won't turn you aside and say, well, wait a minute, no. You remember, your shoes aren't bending. Go away and grow a little bit till your foot gets stronger so that you can bend that shoe and then you can come to me. No, he just says, come. The promise here, the words that are spoken here, is to some who are not able to come because they're completely paralyzed, as it were. But they come with the heart, they come with the look, they come with the call. You know, Bartimaeus, who was blind, came to Christ. Bartimaeus had people who said, stop shouting! You're causing a scene. He had opposition. Bartimaeus couldn't see where the Lord was. All he could do was get up on his feet and start walking and crying, Jesus, thou son of David, have mercy on me! Did the Lord say, no, this is not right. You can't. What did he do for Bartimaeus? He received him. Child of God, again, I say, here is a word to hold to. It's not how you come, it is that you come, led by the Spirit of God to the feet of Jesus. If that has been your case, and I'm not asking you to compare how you came to how I came to how anyone else in this room came. If you came, even perhaps you'd have to say, I came in ignorance, I came, I didn't understand everything, I came, and I'm not sure I had a full heart of sorrow. I don't care how you came. Did you come? Have you come to Jesus? That's the question. If you have come, what can you hold on to? What can you take to your heart? That Jesus will not turn me away. He will not let me go. He will not lose me. Again, I say the Savior is saying to this host of people, you've come to me for bread. I am giving you something that will take you to heaven. Third, when the Lord Jesus says these words, we would ask the question, on whom does the matter rest? On whom does the matter rest? Again, we are prone to look at ourselves and the matter of our salvation, the matter of our hope, the matter of our security, and boil it down to one question that we ask ourselves continually. Are we holding on to Jesus? Are we holding on to Christ? In fact, sometimes we, when we go to prayer and we're in our hour of need, we even argue before the Lord's throne and lift to Him the expression, Lord, I have come to You. Now I'm looking at my coming as the basis then for Your having to help me. I arose and came, Lord. So, in the light of what I did, You must help me. And we hold that as our assurance. Let me simply say, when you get into the hours of true trial, when you get in the hours when the fiery trial that comes upon us all, as Peter talks about, comes upon us, that kind of thinking will fail you. Because, you understand, if you are resting, if you're looking in the fact that you arose and came and how you arose and came, what is your enemy soon going to throw at you as a fiery dart? Will it not be the thought, I don't think you came in truth. I don't think you came in the right way. I'm speaking to you out of experience here. If you come looking at what you did, how you came, the fact that you came, you're resting in, and some people call it like this, that you have faith in your faith. I put my faith, and I'm having faith now, that because I put my faith,
then everything's well. Last night, again, as I was driving home, the thought just simply came to me. For a child of God to truly ever have a rest and peace in his soul, he must come to the place where he says, I cannot rely on anything. I have to trust that Jesus will bring me home. I have to trust in his willingness, his power, his truthfulness, his folding me up in his arms. He has to carry me home. And I say, this is what the Lord Jesus is trying to tell us. He is the one who will lose nothing. He will carry us. Child of God, are you resting in Jesus? Or are you resting in something that you have done, though it is attached to Jesus, the object of your faith is Jesus? I ask you, are you trusting in him? We sing that song, Jesus, I am resting in the joy of what thou art. Child of God, I just simply ask you, take a look at your own heart. Are you just resting on Jesus? Are you forgetting everything that has to do with yourself, your profession, your confession? Are you just trusting in the Lord Jesus? Christ is telling us our hope in the hour of our deep affliction, that which is going to be our word to hold on to, is that he will carry us. He will not turn us away. And so I say, this is a word to hold to. And then my last thought, or last question. For what was this word given? When the Lord Jesus uttered these words, what did he mean to convey? I ask, was it an invitation? When the Lord Jesus looked at this crowd that was before him, even though it was Pharisees or maybe some Roman soldiers that were there, maybe those who were pilgrims on their way to this or that place, beside the hosts, was the Lord Jesus inviting? Yes, I think he was inviting men to himself. There was an invitation here. There was not a man there that had the word strike his ear that could take what Christ said in any other way. Here is an open door. Here is a quiet call, if you will. Here is a simple word. Come to me. Come to me. I will not cast you out. I will not turn you aside. I will take you up in my arms and I will bring you home. I will not lose any of you. Come. Yes, there was an invitation. My second question is this. Was it a hope? Did the Lord Jesus utter these words for you to take, as it were, to yourself as a deliberate promise of safekeeping? I say, absolutely. Again, I say, the Lord means for his people to take his word and to hold it to them as that which comforts. Not too long ago, in our Bible time at home, we were reading with the girls that portion at the end of the book of Acts, where it talks about the ship getting stuck in the sandbar And then the back half of the ship gets broken up with the waves. And Paul and those that were with him in the ship have to leave the ship because it starts to fill up with water. And it says that they were near land, and some cast themselves into the sea to swim to shore, and some came along on boards and things, parts of the ship that floated. And the question was asked to our girls, which would you rather be, the one who swam in or the one who floated on the boards? And, well, the answer came back, of course, I'd rather be the one who floated along on the boards. Do you understand? This word that you have before you this morning is a board, if you will, that's meant to hold you up when you're floating around in that sea, waiting to come home to land. It's exactly why the Lord Jesus gives it. This is something for you to take and hold on to with all your might. You put both arms around this. And you hold it tight. And you hold on, as it were, for dear life. Him that cometh to me, I will in no wise cast out. Hold to that, child of God! Let it carry you safe home. I say this morning, when you hold to the Word of God by faith, you soon have revealed to you by the Spirit of God just how tightly the Lord Jesus is holding on to you. A word to hold to. Well, may the Lord be pleased to allow us to hold. May the Lord give us grace to get our eyes off ourselves, off of anything that has to do with us, and to hold only onto that which is of Christ Jesus. Amen. May the Lord bless His word to our hearts. Let's pray. Our Father and our God, again this morning, we're thankful that Thou dost give us Thy word. But Thou dost not just give us Thy word to instruct us or to help us to be learned, but Thou dost give us Thy word that we may have that which is the true bread of heaven, that which will satisfy us, that which will bring us on home. Lord, I pray that Thou will bless now this word to our hearts. I pray that Thou wilt use it. I pray that Thou wilt cause there to be faith within the hearts of Thy people, that truly they may see that coming to Christ is that indeed which He says will cause Him indeed to never turn us away. Lord, bless now. Dismiss us, we pray. Keep us close to Thy heart, we ask in Jesus' name. Amen.